Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There were 9 of them. Lois Oglesby, age 27, was a nurse and a devoted mother. Logan Turner, age 30, was a tradesman at a machine shop. Nicholas Crummer, age 25, was an intern at a cancer treatment center. Thomas McNichols, age 25, was a gentle giant and father of 4 kids. Derek Fudge, age 57, was a man who loved his family and his dog, Lucy. Beatrice N. Warren Curtis, age 36, and Monica E. Brickhouse, age 39, were 2 friends who worked for a health insurance company. Saeed Saleh, age 38, was from the East African country of Eritrea. And Megan Betts, age 22, had just finished her internship in Montana. Do you know who these people were? Do you remember them? They're the 9 people who were killed in the Oregon District on August 4th. Before that night, they had nothing to do with one another. But now they are forever connected, because tragedies unite people. The tragedy could be something like this mass shooting here in Dayton that united these victims, or it could be the premise of a TV show, like Lost or Gilligan's Island. People from different backgrounds all get shipwrecked together. Or it could even be the 10 lepers in our gospel reading today. They are all united by the tragedy of their disease. And just like how the news media wanted to find out about the people killed in the Oregon District, I'd like to know about these lepers. But the Bible doesn't tell us. All that we know is that they were lepers. And chances are that's all that most people wanted to know. Right? They probably didn't care what their names were. They weren't interested in hearing about how old they were or what their lives were like. Now, for the rest of the world, these 10 were simply the 10 lepers. They were shunned by the rest of society, treated as outcasts, and seen as less than human. And so they formed their own little community, because their leprosy had united them. And now it just so happened that one day they heard that Jesus was about to pass by. Now, I don't know how they heard about him or what he could do, since nobody really spoke to them. But maybe word still spread. Maybe they overheard conversations. Maybe they picked up whispers here and there. Somehow they found out about this miracle-working man from Galilee. And so together they called out for help as he passed by. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Today we see this happen too. Week after week, Sunday after Sunday, people with different names and backgrounds, different ages and life stories, we all come together as a group. We are united by the suffering that is the human condition. We come together as people who know heartbreak and rejection and loss. We come together as the local congregation, and we cry out to Jesus for help. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Or as we sometimes call it, the Kyrie. We call out to this one who can help us, because we know that we are all suffering. Jesus saw these 10 lepers. A miraculous feat in and of itself, because I don't imagine many people actually saw them. Yes, other people knew about these lepers, but they probably knew about them in the sense to steer clear of them. Like, the rich man avoiding Lazarus, which we heard about a few weeks ago. But here, Jesus saw them. He acknowledged them. He looked at them instead of passing them by. And he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Now that probably was not what they were expecting him to do. All right, maybe they thought he would lay his hands on them one by one and just make their leprosy go away. But he didn't. He just told them to go present themselves to the priests in Jerusalem. And so they went. Right, this small congregation of 10 trusted Jesus. They trusted him enough to listen to the news about what he could do. They trusted him enough to call out to him for help. And they trusted him enough to do as he told them, even if they weren't quite sure why. Well, somewhere along the way to Jerusalem, they looked down at their skin. And they saw that it was clean. They didn't quite know how it happened or when, but they were happy it happened. And they were still faithful, so they continued on their way to Jerusalem. But on the way, I bet that they looked at each other. And they saw that they were different. Because even though they were healed, the thing that had united them was now gone. The tragedy that had brought them together had been undone. And so now they saw that in their group there were men and women and young and old, and as they saw, Jew and Samaritan. When they were all suffering, these other differences didn't matter. They had found a common connection in their leprosy. But now that it was gone, the Samaritan stuck out. And so as they walked along, I imagine the Samaritan heard some whispers from the rest of the group. Because you see, Jews and Samaritans never really played nice together. Yes, they had some shared history, but Jews didn't really think of Samaritans as purely Jewish. That's because the Samaritans were descendants of Jews who married people they weren't supposed to marry. But Samaritans weren't really Gentiles either, because they did still follow the Torah and worship the same God the Jews worshiped. So to the Jews, the Samaritans were basically heretics. They were outsiders. They were outcasts. They were others. They didn't quite belong anywhere. And so all of a sudden, the other 9 in the group had a new identity. They were Jewish, and they had a place at the temple in Jerusalem. But the Samaritan was not Jewish, and he did not have a place. And so just as all of them had previously felt like outsiders from the rest of the world, now the Samaritan felt like an outsider from the very group to which he used to belong. In our day, we can think of this person like one who got burned by the church. Right? The church was united by this common suffering. And everyone received the healing gift of forgiveness from Jesus. But then something happened. And maybe you've been there. Right? That group was where you found your strength. But then the other people turned their back on you. Or maybe it was just one or two that made you feel like you weren't welcome or included. Maybe someone said something that was a personal attack against you. Maybe they criticized you for simply being who you are. Maybe they said they loved you, but their actions showed something completely different. because of that, you felt like an outsider. An outsider from this group that had previously felt like home. So then what? Where does that leave you? Well, the Samaritan knew. He was no longer a leper, so his identity was not tied to that disease. And he was not Jewish, so his identity was not tied to the other nine. But he knew that his identity was found in Jesus. And so he turned around. He ran back to Jesus and fell down on the ground in worship before him. He knew that he was not defined by his pain or by the people who had rejected him. But instead, he was defined by the one who saw him, the one who healed him, the one who loved him. Jesus then said, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Notice that Jesus did not undo their healing. Right? He didn't give their leprosy back to them as punishment for not returning. No, Jesus was just sad that the others didn't respond in the same way. Because really, the issue here is not about saying thank you. It's not about being polite and having good manners. No, the issue here is praise of God. Because for those who realize that they have finally been seen, that they are not defined by their pain, that they are loved and accepted by God, their natural response is to praise God. Right? How could people not live that way? So like this Samaritan, if you ever feel like you are lost in the crowd, if you ever feel burned by the community around you, if you ever think that others don't care to know your name or your life story, then just remember that Jesus sees you. And he knows you. And Jesus helps you to see yourself as someone defined by him. He gives you a new sense of community and a new place to belong. A new place to call home with other outsiders and misfits and rejects. And with such a wonderful Messiah and such an incredible sense of hope, we can't help but fall at his feet in worship and praise. And so in the name of the one who defines us too, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.